Hi, this is Gary U.S. Bonds, and you're listening to the Many Shades of Green.
D-Box Radio.
Hi, I'm Maxine Margaret Rubin, and this is the Many Shades of Green, our program that explores environmental and social issues that reflect the greening of our communities. There are many variations or shades of environmental consciousness which affect what actions we take to protect the planet. Everyone has a shade of green that connects them to the natural earth. Our guest this week on the Many Shades of Green is Jesse Carmichael, musician, composer, environmental activist. He plays keyboard and guitar for the popular rock band Maroon 5. Jesse is passionate about the environment, and he works with the Alliance for Climate Education. Today's show will be co-hosted by Abba Carmichael, my lovely co-producer, and Jesse's long-lost cousin. Could be, you never know. Probably not, but hey, we'll check it out. So Jesse, welcome to the Many Shades of Green. How you doing?
Good, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And to start off, what turned you to the green side? You know, there was a dark side, but we're in the green side, so we want to get people to be more green.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it started with my father, Bob, who was on your program, raising my sister and I out in nature. We did a lot of camping trips and a lot of things outdoors, just very connected to things like the ocean, grew up surfing. And, you know, with that kind of experience as a kid, it just made sense as I got older and heard about things like pollution and, you know, the whole issue of carbon footprints and all these issues. I just thought, yeah, it makes total sense to me. We've got to change our ways as a global culture, become more truly sustainable.
Right. People are I mean, not long ago there was this amazing march, the climate, people's climate rally, and Ab and I were there. It was just stupendous to see 400,000 people with the same mind meld, trying to get our leaders to do something, because we have future grandchildren and great-grandchildren to protect, and seeing all these people from all walks of life, all classes, all cultures come together was just, it was amazing. And I hope, you know, it continues to roll, that people can see what's happening, because the naysayers are out there. We're trying to, like, how do you even deal with them, you know? It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, just to stay focused, I think, on being positive and having the facts and helping to spread that information to people. I thought Leonardo DiCaprio gave a great speech at the UN. And so I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic, and so I'm just trying to sort of walk that fine line and stay positive.
Yeah, positive is important.
Yeah, and so in incorporating being green into your work, Maroon 5 is a very socially conscious band, which is not the norm yet. What started you guys and motivated you to...
Well, we got in touch with an organization called Reverb when we were starting touring, and they go around and help bands put on, you know, more sustainable tours. They help them reduce their carbon footprint and spread information at the shows to people about environmental issues, help set up recycling stations at concerts, and it's kind of a tough situation because touring is inherently not very environmentally friendly in terms of all the fuel that it takes to move everything around the whole world. So it's a, you know, it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand we can help spread awareness about climate change, and at the same time we're definitely culpable in contributing to it. So, you know, at some point things are going to have to shift on a big level, you know, in terms of the way that we fuel things and ship things and get around. I'm looking forward to some sort of magical breakthrough in terms of clean energy.
Do you think that there are reasons that other bands don't jump onto companies like Reverb?
Gosh,
There's not a ton.
That's like a deep question about why everybody hasn't, you know, stood up and gone on strike until the world figured out how to solve these issues. And, you know, there's like this inertia, the world is just going, and people can't necessarily stop their lives to tackle issues like this when they're trying to figure out how to put food on their table for their family. And so it's complicated. There's so many different levels that people are operating on. And, you know, until they're sort of like at a place where they have the luxury to think about something like getting together with an organization like Reverb, if you're a band, or, you know, I don't know what else people would do. But you know what I'm saying? That it takes like a certain amount of free time and
pressure.
Yeah.
A force behind it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we'll see how this all plays out. Either it's going to take more catastrophes to get people's attention, or slowly with programs like this and marches like you're talking about, awareness will reach some sort of tipping point where big shifts will happen without being a reaction to something catastrophic.
Just a quick question on the concert end. I mean, in Reverb and you guys being so, you know, conscientious about environmental issues, the audience, mm-hmm. are you passing it to them? And do you see anything from, you know, you have a younger demo. What are their thoughts? Do you engage with them? Do you put the word out?
I get a lot of great feedback about people who are interested in these issues, saying, you know, thanks for helping to spread this, and we're just doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's their, you know, they're going to have to roll with this. I mean, at this point, it's the...
Yeah, we all are. You know. The sons and daughters and grandchildren of the oil industries, mm-hmm. they have to deal with it. So I honestly don't know how they are justifying their continued actions without really, you know, putting more money into research for clean energy. And yeah,
they want to get the last drop. It's the money in the ground, which is good to the last drop, which is
unfortunately this short-sighted greed mentality that could have some bad consequences for future generations. But
yeah,
let's stay positive and start talking about what we can do now.
Well,
something you have done, we mentioned your dad, Bob Carmichael, being on the show, who is a fantastic photographer and mm-hmm. Emmy Award winner. You two built a LEED Platinum certified home together.
Yes.
What was your involvement with that, and were there learning experiences that you took out of it, of going, oh man, I could also apply XYZ to my life now that I know about it?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest takeaway was that it was pretty much just as easy to follow LEED's protocol when building a house than to not. You know, we all had to say was to the contractors, let's make this house as environmentally friendly as possible. Let's use reclaimed materials and low VOC materials so there's not as many chemicals, you know, going out into the environment. And things like radiant heating in the floor, lower energy usage, and the type of windows that keep the heat inside the house, things like that.
What about the outdoor area? Did you? I know you did concentrate on it, but what did you put outside that also was part of that whole LEED?
The solar panels on the top of the house were, you know, an easy thing to put into place, and solar panels are just getting cheaper and cheaper every year, it seems. It's exciting. I mean, to be really thorough, I don't know exactly what the carbon footprint is of creating solar panels,
mm-hmm.
so I'm hoping that they're sort of putting a lot of energy into shifting that so that it's even more of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of solar panels, your mm-hmm. sister, Annie,
yes.
she works at Vote Solar, and we've had Peter
Olmsted
on the show. Great organization. I know that you have some involvement with them.
Yeah, I think they're a great company, and I'm so proud of my sister. And her husband, Matt, works for the company ACE that I just became a part of the board of, and they also just had a baby together. So it's nice that they're this environmentally oriented couple with a new child. You know, a lot at stake personally for them to, like, really devote their lives to helping make some good changes.
And full green family all around, it seems like. But with ACE being on the board, what is your relationship with that? We also had Mayan come on, and as well as some of the kids from ACE, and had a great time talking with them.
Yeah, I really love this company. What they do is they go around to high schools all around the country, and eventually, hopefully, other countries, and they put on a multimedia presentation assembly for the kids to watch and learn about climate change, and then they give them information about how they can get involved, and then they shepherd them through, you know, becoming leaders in their school, and they're involved with kids after they leave high school and they go off into college. But it's just a great thing to target people at that age, I think, because their minds are open, and then they're going to be the next generation of people making decisions and heading up corporations. And so then when they're faced with a decision of how to run their business, hopefully they'll be ready to make the right choice then.
And your relationship being on the board, are you helping to promote it? Or you?
I'm helping to promote it, and I'm helping to guide them along in terms of social media and reaching out to people in a more mainstream way. I think one of the big issues that I've had with the whole environmental movement is that there's a lot of like insular stuff, people talking to people who already feel the same way, and it's kind of like this self-contained group, preaching to the choir is an expression that comes to my mind.
I talk about that all the time. My biggest thing is like, the choir knows.
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting beyond the choir. And things like ACE and SELF, which is another Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation, we've had on the show. We've had Global Kids, which is also tied with ACE, and Power Shift. And they, to see these kids so involved and pushing it out and using social media, and that's what we have to do. And again, the choir, I'm always telling ABBA, it's like, we got to get past the choir. We have this little radio show. We're doing our best to get the word out, and it's people are listening are those who know it. So how do you get into that next fray? And I would hope that, you know, you being so active and you being in such a popular band right now, that would kind of help, you know, in a way, in pushing it to those, as we spoke of, concert goers who are, you know, the light bulbs going off, you know.
Well, hopefully when we put this link up and got some people listening who are people who might not have even been thinking about any of these issues. And so thank you guys for listening, and we love you.
Yes, we do love you. We want you to be green.
We're going to take a quick break. Again, we're here with Jesse Carmichael, and we're discussing so many of the green and sustainable organizations that he's a part of, and we will continue that conversation in just a moment. To get involved with the conversation with Jesse Carmichael, tweet us your thoughts at TM Shades of Green, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Andra Thompson from Spare, an app that allows you to fight hunger in New York City by rounding up your dine out bill. And you're listening to The Many Shades of Green on BeeboxRadio.com.
All right, we are back here with Jesse Carmichael, and we are discussing all the environmentally wonderful organizations that he is a part of, and we've discussed Vote Solar and ACE, and even his band is a part of Reverb, which tries to make band tours more green. So another organization you're a part of or getting involved with is Shift, which moves to connect art, design, culture to the ideas of sustainability. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with that?
Not personally involved with Shift, my girlfriend works for them, and they are a cool company.
You are personally involved. If your girlfriend's involved, you're involved.
You know what? We're all involved.
We're all connected
with everything,
right?
To some extent,
right? Exactly.
This company was started by the actor Adrien Grenier and his producing partner Peter, and they are in the same vein that we were just talking about in terms of trying to shift things more towards the mainstream. They're looking to kind of gently spread the message of sustainability into culture in terms of offering people retail options on their website for things they can buy that are green. And they also produce videos about environmentally related concepts, and they're just making a video right now about the economics of climate change, which is an amazing issue and hopefully something that will get the attention of people in big business in a big way.
And of big business and big names, the Climate Reality Project.
Climate Reality Project, I love. I think that this is Al Gore's group, along with many other great people. And I think that they're just so on point in terms of their social media and their website design. It's very graphic and eye-grabbing, and I just like their message, and I like the way that they spread it. So,
it came out of the his movie, The Inconvenient Truth, which won Academy Award for Best Documentary. But that, even as a side, what the issue that he brought forth, people were not really focusing. I think people are focusing more now because of things like that and because of all the great things that, you know, Ace and Vote Solar and Shift are doing. And us, we're trying to be one, like all these organizations together are making that imprint. But
this is a great point. Let's just talk about that real quick, because I was talking about that with Matt, my brother-in-law, the other day about Ace, in terms of how there are lots of tiny organizations, but they're not united yet in the sense that even with some of their social media campaigns, they each have their own little hashtag for trying to get awareness out, but there should just be one giant hashtag. And this is something I feel really strongly about, is that it's not a situation where it's us, the environmentalists, versus the bad guys, the dark side. You know, it is this, we're just one group of human beings living on this planet together.
It has to be, or nothing's going to change.
Totally. So I'm really excited about that mentality shifting. And I don't know how the march was in terms of the tone of it, but
very unified.
Great. Yeah.
It was quite amazing to see the people coming from all over the world. I mean, we were at front, we were doing press stuff, and we spoke to various, you know, wonderful people who were giving, you know, talks and press and from people interviewing them. Mark Ruffalo and Robert Kennedy and, you know, Van Jones and Chuck Schumer and the former president of Ireland, and I asked her what her shade of green was, and, if, you know, she goes, Irish, I'm the Ireland green, was a bit, you know, which was, I mean, I got to, and I asked Mark Ruffalo, I said, not the Hulk, but come on, he said deep green, you know, and a few people said deep green, but again, everyone, when we were marching, I saw this group of elderly people with their campaign thing on their back, grandparents' campaign for climate from Norway, they came from Norway, because they felt so strongly that their grandchildren needed to be represented, and they came from Norway to represent them and get the word out and march. You know, I mean, doctors saying we're losing patients, meaning real patients, you know, because of climate issues and asthma and lung, you know, and just people, indigenous, and it was just amazing how many thousands and thousands of people and organizations from all over were 2 miles walking. It was 2 mile stretch of people walking through the city.
It's exciting.
It was really exciting. So yeah, but getting organizations together and getting some umbrella is something that I always wondered about as well. So,
and then it's not just an issue of trying to fix things like pollution. It's an issue of something like we were just talking about with that group we should mention, Superforest website.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In terms of just the fundamental underlying principle of the way we interact with each other on this planet and our basic principles of, you know, how we communicate with each other and, you know, a lot of the problems in the world stemming from lack of resources leading to war and those types of conflicts. I mean, there's a lot of things competing for attention in the media right now in terms of climate change versus, you know, terrorism and things like that. So we've got to going to just, like, go deep into the root, I think, of these issues.
Yeah, and Superforest.
And Superforest, they focus on the importance of saying please and thank you, and that if we just did that, we could all be living in a greater harmony, as well as they had a quote that stood out to me that was, the environment is everything that disappears when you close your eyes.
I like that, yeah.
It's not just greenery, and it's not just
it's the buildings here in forest, New York City, and, you know, all the people we meet walking down the street and our relationship with our own bodies and, you know, that environment inside of us. And so I love the Superforest Hue Manifesto, they call it. And so I don't know how active this website is right now, but a couple of years ago when I was out in Hawaii, where it was started by my friend Jackson and a bunch of other friends of his, I think it started here in New York, but then he took it out to Hawaii because he was living out there. And it's got some great stuff on there, so I definitely recommend people
Superforest.
Perusing that site.
When you were in Hawaii, you also went to the Akamai backyard?
Yeah, that was a neighbor of mine and another friend of Jackson's and a real inspiring woman named Felicia who was raising her children at home with a homeschooling program where she brought kids in from the neighborhood to like give them this sort of holistic education in gardening and sustainability in general. That's very cool.
That's a big thing now also, you know, food and people going to green markets. Are you I know you're busy and your schedule is crazy. How do you manage to like kind of try to eat healthy, and do you go to the markets and
when I'm at home I love going to the farmer's market and planting food myself at my own house. And you know, we're lucky on the road to be able to go to eat healthy organic food wherever we go. I mean, I definitely think that this whole issue of GMOs is something to pay attention to. You know, it doesn't seem entirely good to me, this whole GMO movement. So maybe that's an understatement.
I just don't understand how they put this on the ballot, you know, I think in California. I forgot the prop, but people, it lost.
Yeah.
Monsanto and Dow and all these great companies spent millions of dollars for you to not know what's in your food, and then people went, hey, yeah, sure.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
There's no sense. I don't get it. It's just weird. I don't understand people sometimes, but hey, you know.
Yeah, it just seems like it's a nice vision to imagine a world where people have the information that they need to make the choices that they want to make, and you know, where people have more personal responsibility and are given that responsibility and encouraged to become educated. I don't see that happening a lot right now, but you know.
Do you have tips that you've learned that you would want to pass on to people? Like, is there something in your life? Is there a mantra that you live by, or something that you say, oh, if I can do one thing per day to help benefit things, or that you would encourage others to do?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is this book called Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. And it's this beautiful, simple philosophy about communicating that is laid out in a book of his. And it's just super, you know, inspiring in terms of the way that we can communicate with people that doesn't set off their defenses, you know. And I think that that's going to be a huge part of how we can really transition big things in society, because I think when things are tense and stressful, people have a tendency to want to deflect blame and get defensive and win and be right, you know, or something like that. But it's not a contest. And I think if that shift happens where people are just in this headspace of, hey, we're all in this together, so let's just figure out some solutions.
I'll stop preaching the choir.
Yeah. So I know you, you know, the Beatles were very much into, they went to India. They went with the Maharaji. They had the spirit. And then I noticed somewhere that you, that the band, you know, Maroon 5, you have a yoga person who comes with you. How did you all decide, to do that? Is that something that you guys feel gives you more balance? Can you just explain a little about that?
Yeah, I think myself and Adam especially got really into yoga just somehow, you know, through the twists and turns of life. And it seemed to be something that really helped us feel good and feel healthy and grounded. And so having Chad, who is a yoga teacher that has traveled with us for a long time now on the road, was very helpful, especially right in the thick of all the touring we were doing over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I can imagine it gets, you just, your body just winds up so much, and I can see where that can, you know, definitely make you feel more balanced, and you can breathe, and, you know,
breathing is super important.
Breathing is good.
And balance is good, and I mean, over the years, we've incorporated other things into our exercise life that are more kind of like high-intensity weightlifting or karate or that type of thing that's kind of a balance to the feminine aspect of some of the yoga practices. So
oh, come on, it's all for everyone.
it is all for everyone, but my point is definitely the balance is definitely the word I would use to, you know, describe how I'm trying to like live my life.
Right, it's very, very important to have balance, and a lot of people don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, they just are one way or another way. It's just, you know, really, really tough.
And I think that word applies to this environmental discussion too, in terms of having the space in our thoughts to have compassion for people who are involved in big companies like Monsanto, who are making decisions that I think on the surface seem despicable. And but then right there I notice that I'm becoming aggressive towards them, and that sets up a conflict mentality, and then there we have a problem. So if we can just try and like calm everything down and see things from different perspectives and have that balance, and because it's not just this black and white issue of like, oh, you guys are bad and the environmentalists are good.
Yeah, it's always that.
That's got to change.
Yeah, the getting the companies to embrace, you know, greener practices in a more balanced way is probably the best way to approach it, one would think. But sometimes you have these companies, I mean, they're just like, you know, you just don't know how to get through, and it's our job to try to figure out how to get through, and hopefully we will get through.
Yeah, and last question, then we have to wrap, but what is your shade of green?
I like the shade of green that happens when sunlight comes through like a big leaf on a tree, and you get that bright green.
Bright green shade of green. Okay.
Thank you so much for being with us. Can you tell us, we've been talking about Vote Solar, and we've been talking about ACE, and Route 5, and Reverb, and Super Forester, so many different things. I'm sure they all have their respective social media outlets.
Yeah.
Do you have any that you want to push out for the fans to
contact?
You know, let's just put the links up on the website for all those organizations we've been talking about, and there's so many out there. I trust that they're all kind of being spread and are reaching people just at the right time.
We need to get them a unified hashtag.
That's a good idea. Let's get some suggestions.
We should put
listeners.
That out there. Maybe some of our listeners will go, hey, use blah blah, you know. It's possible.
Yeah.
Good way to start. We'll maybe start a campaign.
All
right. That sounds great.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for being here. You're wonderful, and I appreciate things you're doing to get the word out. It's very important. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. We've been talking with Jesse Carmichael, a songwriter, member of the group Maroon 5. He's an environmental activist and an advocate for various organizations, including Vote Solar. And he's also involved with the Alliance for Climate Education. He likes the way SHIFT is trying to get the word out, as well as the Climate Reality Project. So we want everyone to go follow those particular organizations. We'll get those out on the web. He's also working on a solar project entitled 1863. And Maroon 5 has a great new album out called 5 or B, or I'm not sure which one they use. But it's the Roman numeral 5. So, Jesse, again, thank you so much for being on Many Shades of Green. Appreciate it greatly. And thanks for joining us for Many Shades of Green, a program about environmental sustainability, culture, the arts, and community. Listen to the show on your laptop, tablet, desktop, or smartphone. Visit us on Facebook, send us a tweet at TM Shades of Green, and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. A big thank you to Abba Carmichael, my co-producer and today's co-host, and Brian Horowitz, my sound engineer, for all their help in getting the show out each week. I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, reminding you to pick your shade of green and raise your eco-consciousness, and we will see you again next time.
listening to BeeboxRadio.com.